And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials as I try to look for when the program is over. Okay, 5727. I got it. I'm telling you, I'm on top of everything today. I'm only joking about that. Okay, I wrote it down. I should have done that before. Could you imagine for just a moment if you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription for, say, a statin drug, or maybe, if not that, a blood pressure medication, or you need a treatment for stomach cancer or esophageal cancer, and you go to an oncologist and he writes a prescription that you have to go pick up at the pharmacy, or if you have a major infection of some kind. Anyway, I want you to listen to this right here. To me, I find this so intriguing and so essential, and you just got to wrap your mind around that the good things that God has made for us, they're so complete and they're so perfect. And you know what? You can't turn garlic into a drug. And I understand you can't make health claims under the current laws and legal system, but I sure do like the idea of somebody going to the pharmacist and saying, could you please fill this prescription for Group B strep or for my candida infection, and they give you a clove of garlic instead. That would be hilarious. Anyway, enough of that. I came across this article from the British Medical Journal, May 19th, 2009. I realize that's like, what, 13 years ago. They say in the article there's no single blood pressure lowering drug that effectively controls hypertension, so that's the reality of it. And in the real world, if you've had problems with high blood pressure and you're on your fifth or sixth medication, you're starting to figure out, well, what am I going to do? All these drugs aren't working. And so you start to think outside the box, which you realize that it's not thinking outside the box. It's just thinking more precisely and correctly because you're a living organism. And living organisms require life. It's just like if I heard a child describe to me what they're having for breakfast, and they say, oh, yes, we have breakfast. It's called a Pop-Tart. Well, I think to myself, well, that ain't real food. That's fake. Why are Pop-Tarts so, well accepted? Well, if we prize a long shelf life, then you're going to prize a Pop-Tart. Also, it's loaded with sugar, which makes it taste sweet. Which is like crack cocaine. I mean, it's super, super addictive. But you start to figure out that we need life if we're going to produce life. Who wants living water? Who wants living food? It's the only way that you're going to feel actually good. You can't produce great health by eating food exclusively that's dead. And for example, a Pop-Tart, it's dead. It's probably just as fresh to the taste 20 years after the fact of what it was when it was manufactured back in the year 2001. Maybe you have Pop-Tarts in your survival pantry. I don't know. But anyway, let me read this to you right here. In one study, divided doses of garlic reduced blood pressure among hypertensive individuals just as well as a beta blocker called atenolol. Okay, that comes from the Pakistan Journal of Pharmaceutical Science, September 2013. Here's another one. Garlic is also effective in reducing blood pressure in patients with uncontrolled hypertension already on antihypertensive medication. That comes from the Annals of Pharmacotherapy, December 2008. Did you get that, uncontrolled hypertension? There's got to be at least two or three people listening this morning that are having a really, really hard time getting their blood pressure to stay in the normal range. Absolutely. Well, why do you think I'm bringing up the garlic? Absolutely. Various studies indicate that 10 milligrams of allicin, which comes from garlic, and that's the equivalent of about four crushed cloves of garlic a day, it's required to achieve significant blood pressure lowering effects. Where does that come from? Expert Review Cardiovascular Therapy 2007. So, bingo, you got the experts talking about it now. What I thought of is today would be a good day to plant some garlic if you don't have any. Now, I'm changing the topic just slightly, but we're still talking about garlic here. under normal circumstances, there is a potentially toxic organism called Candida albicans that lives in your gut, or it lives in your body. Sometimes the toenail, sometimes the skin, sometimes the nose, the mouth. You might have thrush after taking antibiotics. But it's there, and under normal circumstances, it's normally found in the lower portion of your digestive tract. It's probably right there at that junction where your small intestine ends, all 21 feet of it, and your colon begins. But if it's in just very, very small concentrations, and it doesn't really do much to overgrow or blossom or take over the lining of your gut, and if it just kind of keeps to itself and doesn't cause any havoc, then your body just says, okay, you stay over in the corner, Mr. Candida, and we're going to get along just fine. But, you know, if somebody consumes a prescription drug called amoxicillin or erythromycin, or all the people that have taken boatloads of tetracycline for the treatment of acne for years, well, you know what happens. When you prescribe an antibiotic, what happens is you start to kill and destroy the good bacteria also, as well as the ones that are potentially bad. And so there's Candida going, okay, I'm a yeast, I'm a fungus. I don't really respond to antibiotics. They don't do anything to kill me. So what do you think happens when you kill all the good grass in your lawn? Well, guess what? You're going to have weeds start growing. Okay? And so Candida albicans, normally found in the gut in small concentrations, if it starts growing like crazy, and there can be many reasons. It could be a person's has quite a bit of stress in their life. And the bottom line is, when you're under stress, your body is just burning through your reserves of vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And so always keep that in mind. Or, what if you're not under stress, but you're just eating a boatload of sugar every day? And so there's still tons of leftover Easter candy, and you've got all the modern processed sugary foods like Lucky Charm cereal. You know, if we have a shortage of wheat and corn, there may not be any Lucky Charm cereal, and maybe the health will improve. Okay, in one study, allicin, which is the very, very potent ingredient that's found in garlic, you know, from a fresh clove of crushed garlic, it was found to be just as effective in suppressing the development of Candida to an extent that is sometimes equal or better than fluconazole, which is a common prescription drug used to treat fungal infections in both women and men. That comes from an article from Tropical Biomedicine 2011. Now get this right here. Another study showed that garlic extract exhibited greater anti-candida activity than nystatin, which is a drug that's used all the time to treat overgrowth of fungus and candida, and therefore may have application both treatment as well as limiting antibiotic resistance from overuse of antibiotics. That comes from the International Journal of Antimicrobial Agents, August 1999. Just because that was written in 1999 doesn't mean that information is not useful. If you've ever had an overgrowth of candida, you want to know what you experience? You got a ton of mucus. You know how there's a very famous Mayo Clinic? They're known for their diagnostics. So if an individual has a health problem and nobody can figure it out, like the local medical doctor or osteopath, or you go to a clinician, an internist, a diagnostician, and no one can solve the mystery, well then sometimes out of frustration a person will say, okay, I'm not getting the answers I want, I'm going to go to the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic probably has laboratory testing and evaluation I've never even heard of. And so they are the most famous for figuring out health problems that are very complicated that nobody else can. Okay, so other clinics would be like the Cleveland Clinic or Johns Hopkins. So that's where sick people go. Well, one of the other famous clinics I think I've read about is called the Sloan Kettering Clinic. And there was an article published not that long ago from Sloan Kettering, and it's saying this. both men and women that have chronic sinus problems. It never goes away. It constantly plagues them. And sometimes it's mistaken as a bad allergy. But what it really, really is, according to Sloan Kettering, it's a chronic candida or a yeast or a fungal infection. Why do you think I'm talking about garlic? Garlic is one of the most unique plants that God has made for us that can turn your health around. But the way it works best is if it's consumed raw. Does that make sense? And so I hear stories all day long. Some of the stories, yeah, I try to forget about them because they're not good. But there's other stories I'm going, okay, I'm going to tuck that away in my data banks because I might be able to use that later. Well, I had this guy was telling me that he had just horrific sinus problems. He could never get relief. He had taken the inhaler budesonide, steroids, all the anti-allergy medications, no relief whatsoever. Well, lo and behold, one day, he takes a neti pot and blows his nose really, really hard, trying to get this gunk out, and this big brownish mass of gunk comes out of him. Of course, the way he described it, I thought he gave birth to a placenta. But those are called biofilms. I don't know if you've ever heard the term of a biofilm before, but a biofilm is like a slimy coating that makes it really, really hard for your body to ever get rid of an infection, because the infection just hides in the slimy, gunky film. Well, enter garlic. It makes it so easy to penetrate the biofilm if you have the molecule allicin in your body. Something worth thinking of. Now, let me see right here. Okay. I don't know if you've heard this term before, but there's a type of a bacteria called Campylobacter jejuni. I did not say Campylobacter Jedi. There's no Jedi bacteria. But Campylobacter is the number one cause of food poisoning in the United States. And so if you've ever eaten food before that was tainted with a toxic bacteria, well, you're going to know it, because it causes projectile vomiting and diarrhea. And I'm telling you, it's almost borderline life-threatening, because you start losing your water levels, you become dehydrated, you lose all your electrolytes. I mean, it's a scary, scary deal. I don't know about you, but I always take these things very, very seriously, because you don't know how they're going to turn. There's people that die just from getting food poisoning. Okay. Listen to this right here. So Campylobacter jejuni, this is the cause of most cases of bad food poisoning. Here's what the article says. It comes from the Journal of Antimicrobial Chemotherapy, May 2012. I don't know why they're calling it antimicrobial chemotherapy, but I get it. Garlic was found to kill this potentially deadly bacterium by penetration of a slimy biofilm that normally makes it 1,000 times more resistant to antibiotics. So that's what that slimy gunk is up in your sinuses or in your lower part of your digestive tract. It's called a biofilm. Garlic is one of the rare substances that's found in nature that helps dissolve and break down that biofilm so your immune system can actually get to where the infection is. That's the whole key. So that's interesting right there. What's the other one right here? Okay. This comes from the Annals of the Clinical Microbiology and Antimicrobials, April 27th, 2012, just in case you want to look it up. It says, in fact, garlic has been found to be effective in killing antibiotic-resistant strains of E. coli. Well, what's the number one infection that causes UTIs in women? That would be short for a urinary tract infection. Well, it's called E. coli. Probably one of the top bacteria that's resistant to antibiotics is found in dirty water is called Pseudomonas aeruginosa. I read a report that this is terrifying doctors around the world because it doesn't respond to the modern antibiotics. Well, guess what? Kills it. Garlic does. There's another one called Bacillus subtilis, and it's a toxic germ. Has anybody out there ever heard of a type of an infection that will eat you and cause boils? It's called Staphylococcus aureus. If you've ever seen someone covered up with boils, you will instantly be very empathetic and you will have mercy on them, and you will show them loving kindness, because you think to yourself in a heartbeat, I do not want that to happen to me. That's horrible. What I want you to think of is I want you to think of Job in the Old Testament, where he literally is covered with a staph infection, and he's trying to scrape his skin so the boils will break open and the guy can get relief. Poor Job. But garlic has been shown to kill it. There's another bacteria called Klebsiella pneumoniae. I won't tell you the story, but I've learned these lessons the hard way. If a man has chronic prostate problems, his PSA is going up. He's got trouble passing his urine. What I want you to remember is there's a type of bacteria called Klebsiella pneumoniae that sometimes can start to burrow into and form a biofilm in the prostate, and it can wreak havoc. Oh, my word. And so, without Klebsiella pneumoniae, I don't really know. I don't have a number for you. But I'm just curious how many men have very severe prostate problems that don't go away, even though they're treated with all the prostate-shrinking drugs. But what the problem is, it's really a Klebsiella pneumoniae infection. That's what I'm saying. A bacterial infection of the prostate would be something you might want to consider. You know, the thing of it is, you can go to any doctor you want. So if you're a man and you got prostate problems, ask the doctor to run a culture on your prostate fluid. It's very easy to do. I still remember my microbiology instructor in college. His name was Dr. V.L. Shaladia. The guy ruled with an iron fist. I remember I kind of sat like in the middle of the classroom, not all the way at the front, but not all the way the back, but probably closer to the back up at the top. It was like an amphitheater type classroom. But to make a long story short, you did not goof off in his class. And I don't know if anyone out there listening knows me. My threshold for laughter is like so low. It didn't take anything to make me laugh. I'd probably laugh and make jokes all day long. But if you laughed in Dr. Shaladia's class, he would drop the bomb on you. He would call you out. He would make a total example of you. He would dress you down, I guess it's you would say, and you'd walk off with your tail between your legs. So his class and his laboratory was not the sort of thing that you goofed off in. But then again, you got to respect that. The guy was so serious about learning. But one of the bacteria he always talked about was called Salmonella and Shigella. And so when I read those terms in his study on using garlic to treat infections, I thought to myself, oh man, Dr. Shaladia, he would love it that I'm talking about garlic. Years ago, there were several laboratories. What they would do is they would do a minimum inhibitory concentration. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but what I want you to think is a laboratory where they get a specimen of, say, fluid from your nose or from the back of your throat, wherever you're having problems. So if somebody says, I've got non-stop bowel issues that won't go away, it's like mucus and diarrhea, I'm in pain all the time. Well, what they would do is, they, meaning the laboratory or you, depending on how the laboratory runs their test, is you've got to get some of that fluid near the source of your problem. So if it's coming from the bottom, you're going to send it to the laboratory, and they take that and they put it on a nutrient auger petri dish and then stick it in the incubator. And they're trying to really find out one thing. What is growing inside of you that's causing all these problems? And so if it comes back that you have like a massive overgrowth of either candida or, let's just say, Staphylococcus aureus or Streptococcus, well then, the way that labs used to test this is they would take a small paper disc that's saturated with an antibiotic, and they'd put it in contact with the overgrowth of the candida. And they're trying to find out what kills it. I know I said that wrong, but some of y'all picked up on that. But that's not the main point. You're trying to find out what is the most effective antimicrobial to help the body heal. But, I mean, in the past, when the labs would do what a minimum inhibitory concentration, they would use the garlic. I'm telling you, garlic is literally one of the most effective treatments of all time. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I'm not worried about it if it does, but just think, you may want to have some garlic in your medicine chest or in your arsenal. Wouldn't be bad to have some growing. But I remember we would do that in the laboratory. Dr. Shaladia would be proud of me talking about this. Okay, let me see if I can... what's this other one I found right here? Oh, this comes from the Journal of Nutrition and Cancer, 1997. I'm not going to go into great detail, but let me say it this way. If you've been diagnosed with having a bacterial infection called H. pylori or Helicobacter pylori or Campylobacter, the longer it stays in your stomach or your esophagus, the more problems you're going to have with development of cancer or other problems. So, where's this right here? Okay, here's the punchline from Nutrition and Cancer, 1997. It doesn't give the month or the journal number. Sorry about that. I can get you the year, though. It's 1997. They show that consumption of garlic in the diet, it's associated with a relative 49% reduction in death from gastric, that's your stomach, or esophageal cancer. Your esophagus is what attaches your mouth to your stomach. I got that wrong. Wrong journal. Consumption of garlic in the diet is associated with a relative 49% reduction in death from gastric or esophageal cancer. That comes from the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, March 21st, 2012. So I like the idea of that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Now, since you're speaking about garlic.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you eat it raw?
Well, do you know what the ancient Egyptians used to do?
No.
All right, if they buried King Tut in his royal burial chamber and in his sarcophagus, there was a room that was attached to the burial chamber. And in this room, they would place all the items, sometimes 5,000 to 20,000 of them, that he might need to use in the next life. Just take it with a grain of salt. And so archaeologists, when they go into these burial chambers in the adjoining room that has all his possessions, they usually find jars that are perfectly sealed and preserved that are filled with honey. Guess what's in the honey?
Garlic.
That's it. Bingo. And so when archaeologists take and they dig one of those cloves of garlic out and they eat it, they go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. It's 3,000, 4,000 years old, and this is like divine. And so even though they weren't highly scientific the way that maybe we are or advanced, here's what they knew. They knew that raw honey contains all the living organisms that are found inside of the human gastrointestinal tract, which that could be a whole different topic for a whole program, is should we be using raw honey instead of sugar? Absolutely. If you got to use a sweetener, if you tell me you need a teaspoon of honey in your coffee in the morning, I'd say I'd rather you do that than using, you know, Splenda or sucralose or high fructose corn syrup. But they would take raw cloves of garlic, and they would just ferment them. So if you've ever been to my office before, I have like a huge jar of raw fermented garlic. Stuff is great. So yeah, that's the best way to do it. Don't cook it. Just chew it up raw that's been fermented in honey. Takes about a month to make.
Oh, wow. Okay. And like those that you get in capsules, there's a product called is there with the K, chiolic or something?
Yeah, and that has benefit to it. It does. But it's going to pale in comparison to what the raw, unprocessed garlic is going to have in it.
Okay, so raw honey and garlic, you ferment it correctly.
Yeah, and that's just one idea. There's lots of ways you could do it. But if you had a, and my recommendation would be that you would use one of those dark amber-colored brown canning jars. Have you seen those before?
Yes.
Yeah. And then if you went to any number of websites or at the store, they have these pickle pipes that are made of, food-grade silicone, and they bleed off all the pressure. And I promise you, you will be able to smell the garlic ferment. It's going to release sulfur quite generously wherever you have it. But if you did that, all you got to do is just give it time and all the beneficial microbes in the honey. They're going to go to work on that garlic, and it's going to be preserved for thousands of years. So if you pass away in 40 more years, guess what? You get to leave this to your kids.
Okay. Do you know that that's good for inflammation, too? I was just
wondering. Yeah, and I haven't even gotten that far in the... Yeah, but they're showing... And one of the ways that garlic greatly helps with inflammation is it gets rid of all the toxic germs that are held in the human body. Yeah, I mean, you got to remember that the number one cause of death over the last humpteen thousand years is going to be infection, infection, infection.
Well, a month is a long time to wait for that, so we may have to come and get some from you.
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm sorry. I wasn't... That whole verse about do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that doesn't apply in this situation. Of course you can come get some if you need some. I've got plenty. And you know what? Maybe I should start a second batch so I can share more.
Yeah, I think you may have a line of people.
But you know what? If you didn't accomplish anything else today but take some raw cloves of garlic and put them in a jar and pour some honey to cover them, that would be a move in the right direction.
Okay, you know, you get them that says organic and, of course, it's just regular. Does it matter? Garlic is garlic? Or...
Well, garlic is garlic, but if garlic is not sprayed with chemicals and pesticides and herbicides and other chemicals that are toxic, it's always better, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I think the other day I was looking at a report that shows the highest number of lymphomas and urinary tract cancers are found in farmers that have a pesticide license.
Nice.
Now, if you got a pesticide license or herbicide license, what are you doing? You're spraying herbicides, right?
Yeah.
And so I realize fences look great when there's not weeds everywhere, but I'm telling you, Roundup is deadly stuff. That is a cancer-causing chemical. Mm.
Mm. Scary.
Not good. It is scary. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you can get the organic raw garlic, that's the best. And my vote is always toward raw honey. I would say get the honey that's filtered the least, so it looks dark and cloudy and there's lots of particles of pollen in it. That's what you want.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. In a laboratory... This comes from the African Journal of Traditional Complementary Alternative Medicine. They showed that garlic kills cancer cells on contact. That's interesting. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
And how are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Yes, I know this is a little off the subject. You're speaking about garlic and the benefits of it, of the raw garlic. I have daily headaches. I've been to a neurologist before, and I have been to spine clinics, and I have, like, from waking in the morning, rising, you know, just lifting up from sleeping position, I can feel the headache start in the back of my head, and it kind of like radiates down through my spine. And I've had falls, but it's a daily.
You mean you've had falls where you've hit your head on the concrete or something?
No, just, you know, fall, like my leg gives out or, you know, and not on my head, though, but just falling down.
Well, rats, I don't want you to fall.
Yes, it's not fun to fall.
It's not.
For no apparent reason, you know, I'm not tripping over anything. Just my leg gives out. And they, you know, of course they want to give me some, like, some kind of narcotic. I don't want to go that route.
I don't blame you.
Yes, I don't, there's too many, you know, yeah, I'd rather do a natural, something to help me.
I want to do everything I can to support you in that. I think that's a reasonable, good request to do it naturally. I like the idea very much of you waking up without headaches.
Yes, I would like that, too. I would like that, too. It's a daily. Some days are more intense to where I can't do anything. Like, I have to be laying down sometimes, you know, and there's
so if you make it to the couch, you kind of collapse there and say, this is as far as I can go.
Yes, pretty
much. Oh, bless your heart. Do you crave chocolate by chance?
Do I crave chocolate?
Yes, ma'am.
No. Okay. I've kind of lowered my sugar intake, too. I do like sugar-free, sugar wafer cookies, but no. Chocolate, okay. I don't really.
How long have you had the headaches for?
Several years. It's gotten worse within
the last.
Do
you drink diet soft drinks at all or carbonated beverages?
No. Every once in a while I do. I've been drinking a lot of water and Splash, which is flavored water,
okay.
Splash water, but coffee.
I've heard of Splash coffee. Kingdom. I don't know what Splash water is.
I get it from the store with Big W.
Big W.
They have multiple flavors.
You know what? They should change the name to Big W. Hey, where are we going to shopping for groceries? We're going to Big W, folks. All right, I've got some ideas for you. Now, these are only ideas, and no way am I trying to overpromise anything to you, but I tell you what, I think we should aim high and try to get these headaches gone and done. All right, okay. Number one, there is a mineral that your body needs, and it needs it badly when your headache starts at the base of your skull. It's called magnesium.
Okay, how do I take that?
Well, most likely, because of your present situation, I think supplementing with magnesium is going to be a really, really good choice, at least in the short term. And so, in no way am I trying to be negative by saying this, but if a woman is under a fair amount of stress, what's going to happen is she's just going to the magnesium is just going to wash right out of her when she's under mental or emotional or physical stress. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so if you were to go to the store, and let me just kind of give you like three or four ideas. There's a form of magnesium called magnesium lactate. There's another form of magnesium called magnesium glycinate. There's another form of magnesium called magnesium malate, M-A-L-A-T-E. If you were to take those, what you could just do is just a gentle experiment, because it's like an over-the-counter remedy. There's nothing toxic about it. Is you can start taking just a little bit of magnesium. You might even take one capsule every 2 hours during the day.
Okay.
And so if you woke up at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to bed like at 10 o'clock at night, fine by me if you take, 6 to 8 capsules a day of magnesium. I mean, the only toxic side effect, it's not toxic, I'm just joking about that,
okay.
Is you might have to go to the bathroom and have a bigger, better bowel movement, which is not horrible, is it?
No, it's not, because I actually have issues.
Well, this is all going to work together as a whole. And so if you start working the magnesium issue, of course, also, I've just tricked you into drinking water. I'm just joking about that. How about you splash some water into your mouth? but if you will, try the magnesium first. Now, the other thing that I want you to think about, there's a type of salt that's called Celtic or Celtic salt. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yes, I have.
Well, if you look at it, it looks like gray, dirty sand that you would walk on the beach and you'd say, I'm not putting that in my mouth. It doesn't look clean. But if you'll trust me on this, the moment that you wake up or before you go to bed, if you'll take a little pinch of Celtic salt and just put it directly on your tongue and suck on it, well, sure, it's going to taste salty. But you're going to start telling me if these headaches at the base of your skull or the back of your head start to diminish and go away. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to cut to the chase here, okay? If you need me to flesh all this out, I'll be glad to. There is a homeopathic remedy called sanguinaria. It's like
how
the
do you know that?
Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. I never learned how to spell. Let me see if I can write it down here. S-A-N. Okay, I'm gonna take a stab at it. When I say a stab, are you an English teacher, by the way?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, no, sir.
Oh, you the good answer. Okay, S-A-N. G-U-I, N as in Nike, A-R-I-A, sanguinaria. And if you'll get that homeopathic remedy, I think it's made from bloodroot. Okay. You could get it anywhere between 30 C as a dose or the potency all the way up to 200 C. But if you take that, you never know. Your headaches might completely disappear. They might go away. They might be long gone. Never see them again. Now, here's the other thing that I would think of. If you're waking up with a headache every day, you're eating something that your body don't like. And so, if I were guessing, I would request that you just start drinking water. If you want the water to have flavor, it is fine by me if you squeeze fresh lemon juice or lime juice or take an orange or tangerine, squeeze in there and give it some flavor. But don't drink the splash.
Okay.
Just drink water and start cleansing the cells and the tissues.
Okay. Will do. On the magnesium, I actually take magnesium citrate once a day.
You might take one of those every 2 hours if you got bad headaches.
Okay.
And the thing of it is, if you have to run to the bathroom, well, that might be a clue to back off. But right now, it's just magnesium. Back up until, what year was it? I'm going to say 1996. If somebody showed up at the hospital in the throes of a heart attack, they used to instantly start an IV with magnesium. Very successful, very effective. It worked like a champ. The problem with magnesium is it doesn't cost $3,000.
Yes.
So I'll let you figure out for yourself why it's not used anymore. I don't want to say it. I think you're pretty smart. But if you'll start working the magnesium, but what I would really encourage you to do is don't eat anything with wheat in it. Eat a salad today. Eat meat. Load up on avocados and sweet potatoes and asparagus. Do you like broccoli?
Yes, I do. I actually have been eating a lot of salads.
Oh, well, that is a genius move. Way to go.
I've lost weight, you know, so I needed to lose weight.
Hey, you know what you're doing? You're trying to help yourself. You get an A+ on your report card today. Good job.
Thank you.
When is the last time you received an A+?
It's been a long time. I'm 35 years old. It's been many years since I've been in school.
Well, when I said A+, I meant in conduct. You're pretty good at that, aren't you? Weren't you always really well behaved in class?
Yes, sometimes now.
Oh, no. You mean you have a dark side where you can act up occasionally?
Yes, back in my younger days.
Okay, we'll overlook that because rumor has it I may have done some things that were like, you know, I think my high school principal was Bo Owsley. I don't know if have you heard the name Bo Owsley?
Bo Owsley?
Yeah, that was my principal's name when I was in high school.
No.
Anyway, I went to high school in Frankston, but one day I left the campus without permission. And so I'm going, how does he know every time that I do something that's wrong, he catches me every time? Well, me and John went to his office, and he said, who's going to go first? And I said, I'll go first. So he made us bend over and grab our ankles. The paddle was at least 3 foot long, and I'm telling you, he didn't hold back. And when he gave me like 3 hard swats, I'm telling you, it's one of those deals you could hear it throughout the entire school. But afterwards, I looked over at John, and John said, "No, I'm not doing that." But you know what? I don't think I ever left campus again without permission.
Yes, you learned not to do that.
Well, yes, he used the paddle of love and correction upon me, and it worked quite well.
Yes, I also had a SWAT at a young age myself. I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
But
well, you know what? I don't think they do that too much anymore. We're living in the age that you can't tell a person no, and you can't punish them, right?
Yes, you are right.
So what's our society going to be like when you can't tell them no?
Out of control.
I listened to a video on YouTube this week, and they were talking about the basic problem with America, and this is just one of them. It says when people routinely spend more money than what they earn, then you're looking for a collapse of society. And I thought, well, buddy, we're there right now. Because debt is at an all-time high. And you know what? That's still a discipline issue, isn't it?
Yes.
It's still self-control. You got to tell yourself, don't spend money if you don't have it, right?
That's right.
Right now, we want to fill the reserve of your body with magnesium. And I want to start hydrating your body really, really well. And so Celtic Salt, I want you to fall in love with it. The homeopathic remedy Sanguinaria, please try it. Tell me if your headaches completely disappear and go away. You know what this is called? It's called healing. If you want to say vitality, energy, rejuvenation, hey, I love all those terms. But the bottom line is, if you have symptoms that are very annoying, like a bad headache, and you're so discouraged and exhausted by it, if they start to diminish and go away, doesn't that mean God is looking upon you with favor and blessing you? Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
So you've got a good plan of action right here. I expect you to make great progress.
Okay, and one more question. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan. One more question. That Celtic salt, where do I find that from?
Where do you live?
I live in Texas, Goliad, Texas.
Well, you're not going to be a local health food store advocate, are you? I can tell you what you can do. If you want to order it on a website like Amazon or eBay or Walmart.com, you can do that.
Okay.
I really am not familiar with Goliad.
Yes, it's 60 miles southeast of San Antonio, Texas.
You know what I think of when I think of the word Goliad?
What do you think of?
I think of outstanding courage.
Okay.
I just think that people probably took a stand there at some point against tyranny and against invading forces.
Yes.
And they probably said, no, you will not cross this line. We are not going to let you abuse us. So Goliad equals courage.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? So I'm so glad you called today, but if you can't find it at a local health food store, I think it'll be very easy to order online. And you can get a big shipment of it, but literally, if you'll start putting the Celtic salt on your tongue directly and just sucking on it, tell me how you feel. It's an interesting experiment. And by the way, sodium in salt is probably the most demonized substance on the planet, and it shouldn't be. Now, if you tell me highly refined salt where they add a bunch of aluminum powder to it, that's bad. But natural salt, it is essential for life. I don't have the book in front of me, but I have pictures of Chinese people back at the turn of the last century that are just falling out with sore, crusty sores all over their body and no energy. And that's just nothing more than a sodium deficiency. It looks horrible. Actually, the pictures are more like a sepia color, kind of a brown, yellowish. I started to say black and white, but you knew what I meant.
Yes. Man, that Celtic salt, you said a pinch of it on my tongue when I wake up.
Absolutely. You can put a pinch on your tongue when you go to sleep at night. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you can put a pinch on your tongue. Suck on the Celtic salt and see if your fortunes do not change for the better.
Okay. I will do that.
I mean, at the most, what have I done? Wasted $5 of your money at the most?
No.
So good.
Thank you.
It sounds like there's a man in the background that really loves you. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. I figured
out.
That's
my fiance. He's the one who told me.
Wait. Your fiance, that means he must like you. Is that correct?
Yes. He's very much in love with me.
Now, he's not going to tempt you and say, let's drink some beer because that depletes you of magnesium or Cokes.
Oh, no, we don't drink.
Oh, you're so smart. Good choice. Well, I really enjoyed the phone call. Thank you so much, and God bless Goliad, Texas today.
And God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, sir. Ma'am. Let me know what happens, please.
Yes, I sure will, Dr. Morgan.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257, just in case you want to call with a question or a comment. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm happy.
Good.
I get to do this program standing up. I don't have to sit down.
All right.
You can tell I'm standing up, can't you?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. It's radio.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling about my mother. She had a BNP drawn recently, and her CO2 carbonate was like 34.1. And
oh, yeah.
The only answer the providers give me is she needs to sleep steady, and she's not wanting to go that route.
Is she taking any drugs of any kind?
For diabetes, high blood pressure, yes.
Well, and the bottom line is that's what we got to totally reverse. Her body is just very, very stressed right now. And so CO, and just take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, okay?
Sure.
If you're a real shallow breather, I did not say a shallow person. I said a shallow breather where you don't get enough oxygen. That can completely cause that. But you know what? We're human beings. We're creatures of habit. Yeah. I've watched people. I'm a people watcher. And it's so interesting. I can tell by the way that they move, if it's a knee problem, if they're limping on a foot, if they got a bad hip. It's not hard. But I can also tell when people just hold all this tension in their diaphragm, and they don't let it work and do its job. But I would say most people, they don't breathe real well. Now, one thing that I can tell you and point you toward, there's a book called The Oxygen Advantage. If you don't want the book, you can just go on YouTube and watch the videos for free.
Okay.
But it's a way to retrain the body. But right now, what your mama, did you say mother-in-law?
Mother.
Okay, mother. Okay, even better. So what your mother needs is we've got to get oxygen into her. Okay?
Yes.
And so you get oxygen when you eat real vegetables and real fruit, but the fruit that she needs is probably going to be called cherries, raspberries, strawberries, dewberries, blackberries, blueberries. I'm running out of berries. So, but if you eat those raw, they're a rich source of oxygen. And if she focuses mainly on meat and vegetables, the thing that just steals all the oxygen from her body, it's going to be sugar.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons.
Working on that.
Okay, good. Well, you're trying to encourage her, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, this is old school technology, but that's what I like. I mean, you can do all, you can put an oxygen pulse meter on her finger, and you can say, well, Mom, what is your oxygen level? And she says, sweetheart, it's just fabulous. It's 92%. And you go, Mom, 92 is not a great number. I mean, even if you look at Medicare guidelines, if you hit 89, bingo, you're going to be on an oxygen tank or a respirator or something because your body's starving for oxygen. Now, the very first drug that was ever patented and made synthetically is called methylene blue. And I can't remember, it's a form of chloride. Ugh, my mind won't bring it up. You can look it up for yourself, though.
Okay.
But what they used to do is they would take one drop of methylene blue and they would apply it to the skin. And so, for example, if you were looking at the back of your mother's hand right now or her wrist, you say, Mom, do you mind if I put some blue dye on your wrist? And she says, well, you're my daughter. You would never do anything to harm me. But what they would do is they'd put a drop of the methylene blue on there, and if it disappears in about 7 hours, that's a clear sign of oxygen delivery, oxygen starvation issues.
Okay.
Now, have you ever heard of cyanide poisoning?
Yes, sir.
If you live in Russia and you oppose Vladimir Putin, you might come face to face with what cyanide poisoning really is. They're going to try to take you out. And there's a lot of people that have died in Russia, and they think some of it's because of cyanide. Or another way of saying it is, and what cyanide does is, it just completely interferes with oxygen transportation. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know this is horrible to bring up, but I've seen it a couple times, but you've heard stories of people that close the garage door.
Oh, yeah.
And they open the windows of their car, and they turn their car on, and they take a handful of medication, so they can sort of pass out like tranquilizers, or they try to overdose because they just can't take the pain of this world anymore. And, of course, you know what they need. They need exactly the healing that only God and Jesus can provide.
Absolutely.
But they just don't see that at the time, but we want to encourage them. So carbon monoxide, you're gonna suffocate. You're not going to have any oxygen, just like cyanide. So do you know what they use in the hospital when somebody comes into the hospital with either cyanide poisoning or carbon monoxide poisoning? They use methylene blue.
Okay.
And so that's the antidote. And so I know some of the things that I say are way, way, way too wordy because I get to look at people all day long when I say these things and I'm going, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And I need to tone it down a bit, but that's just, I'm kind of nerdy that way. I like talking about these things. But there is a system in the body called the electron transport system, okay?
Yes, sir.
Methylene blue is one of the ways that you could gently consider supplementation. That would be obviously with your doctor's advice, but you can buy it over the counter, but it aids greatly in what's called respiration. And here's the main point that I'm getting to with your mother. What she needs more than anything else right now is to deliver more oxygen efficiently to her mitochondria.
Okay.
The mitochondria is where all energy production takes place in the body. I mean, if you asked me what's the cause of disease, Dr. Morgan, I'd say poor function of mitochondria. And you could say, well, how do you predict if a person's going to get well? Well, we're going to have to grow some more mitochondria. And so everything rises and falls based on energy production. So if I told you that energy is the currency of the body, it's what you got to have if you want to heal and get well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what methylene blue does, it helps improve respiration and functioning of the mitochondria. Just like, have you ever heard of coenzyme Q10?
Yes, sir.
That stuff is amazing. It's been shown to greatly improve the function and the performance of the mitochondria. So anything that helps your mitochondria grow. So let me give you another example. I remember this from a long time ago. They took a group of people, and 6 months later, after they started walking, they doubled the number of mitochondria. So if they had a muscle cell that had 2,000 mitochondria, at the end of 6 months, bingo, they had 4,000. That means they felt like $1 million then. But you know what? You know how this works. You've got to do diligence. There's no such thing as a quick fix.
Yeah.
You don't go from diabetes and breathing problems and needing a CPAP and having high blood pressure to instant health where you look like you're 18 years old again. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so what your mama needs is she needs to move as much as possible, and she needs to start practicing those breathing techniques in that book called The Oxygen Advantage.
Okay.
I started to say...
Yeah, she loves to walk, but it gets to her back, so she can only do so much.
Well, what is the issue with her back? Has she had an injury or damage or inflammation?
Not quite sure. I mean, she did keep kids for several years, so...
See, this is your fault. No. Well, you know what? Here's our plan B. If walking kills and hurts her back, I still want her to walk, even if it hurts her. But probably what I might recommend also is if she gets a set of those bicycle pedals that you can set on the table, you can do your arms, and then you can put them on the floor and work your legs. You can pedal your heart out.
Okay.
And the bottom line is, when somebody is in a situation like your mama, if we don't get her up to a good hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half of movement and exercise a day, and I'm not trying to be negative, but there's just no way to turn it around because you can't get enough oxygen and blood flow to the organs. So the more sedentary a person is, it's just like the greatest predictor that you're not going to get them well.
Yes.
So movement is the key to life.
Awesome. All right, we will get to work on this. Do you have a specific brand for CoQ10 or vitamins in general?
They sell, I mean, for CoQ10, they sell a product called Q-Nol that's just available right there at Walmart.
Okay.
Or the Big W. What do you call it? I know you've never heard of that store. I can tell. But you could do that. But usually what I'm using whole food extracts, things that are grown in nature, found in nature. Actually, a lot of the supplements that I utilize, they probably contain animal parts in them, which kind of grosses some people out. But, for example, if you look at modern medicine and science, they say there's exactly 6 to 14 essential B vitamins. But in nature, you find more like about 46 to 48. So even the B vitamin formulas, like if you said, well, what do you use for a multiple vitamin? Well, I use one that's based on calf, liver, and animal parts because it has everything you need.
Yes, sir.
By the way, when they back in World War II, when they liberated about 20 men that had a condition called myasthenia gravis from a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and they couldn't move because they were so weak, they didn't go down to the store and buy a B-complex to give them. No, no, no. You know what they gave them to heal them? They gave them calf liver.
Yes.
So your mom was right by forcing you against your will to eat liver and onions once a week growing up.
Well, yeah. Now, she might actually do that, so.
Well.
I'm not so sure about myself, yeah. But.
I ask people questions all the time. It's so, I love their answers, but I asked two people this week. I said, okay, I need you to tell me, what foods do you eat that make you feel like $1 million? And these were honest answers. One of them was seafood, and the other one was seafood.
So, okay.
And so I'm going, really? I mean, all right, I'm just joking as I say this. No one ever says, you know what? I like those processed chicken nuggets. That is not going to cause great, tremendous healing and repair to the body.
Right.
But I'm rooting for your mom, and I've told you a couple of things that can start to help. Now, by the way, magnesium always increases oxygenation of the blood. So I would always say that diabetes is a magnesium deficiency.
Okay.
Just like, you know, a person has chronic daily headaches, that's definitely a magnesium deficiency. And if you're low in magnesium, how are you going to feed your mitochondria oxygen and fuel? You ain't.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. And then I have heard you in the past talk about some vegetable capsules, like for the eyes, that were good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what they were called? Complete something?
Well, it's called Cruciferous Complete, and I'll tell you what it is. It's organic kale that's concentrated, and your favorite vegetable, Brussels sprouts.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect.
But then again, wow. You know, if somebody had macular degeneration where they had low levels of oxygen in their eye, and that's what causes those blood vessels to grow over the macula, it's still the same song and dance. You've got to train your body to get up and move more. It's really the only way you rejuvenate.
Yes, sir.
Just more delivery of nutrients and oxygen. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You have a blessed
day. Oh, thank you so much, too. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right. I think we're officially out of time today.